refute the charges, stressing that Disney had told Weinstein a year earlier that Disney and Miramax would not distribute the film, and that Weinstein and Moore were free to find another distributor. Adding to the furor, Fahrenheit 9/11 won the Palme d'Or, the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival later in May, and Weinstein had no trouble lining up distributors. By the time the film opened nationally in the United States on June 24th, it was a cause célèbre. While noting that the film was unabashed propaganda, critics were generally positive, no doubt reflecting on Moore's stand against Disney as well as the quality of the film. A.O. Scott in the New York Times called Moore a credit to the Republic. Lines formed at big city theaters on opening day, and box office revenues quickly soared past $100 million, making it the highest-grossing documentary ever. Made for $6 million, Fahrenheit 9/11 ultimately grossed $220 million worldwide. After paying distribution fees of about $60 million and marketing and other costs of another $40 million, Miramax realized about $120 million in profit, which Disney has said it will donate to charity. Though Eisner has characterized himself as the Weinstein's biggest supporter inside Disney, noting that Dick Cook and other studio executives would have loved to get rid of them, this was too much even for Eisner. In a June conference call with analysts, he said that Miramax had only earned a profit in two of the previous 5 years, a claim that infuriated Harvey Weinstein. It was especially damaging to his efforts to raise capital on Wall Street to either buy Miramax back from Disney or to finance a new studio in the event he and Bob left Miramax and Disney. Weinstein charged that Eisner's figures were false, that for 2003, for example, Miramax's profits were actually $211 million, and that he and his brother wouldn't have earned a bonus in each of the 5 years if Miramax hadn't earned a profit. But Disney was using generally accepted accounting practices, and Miramax was not. Miramax amortizes costs over a longer period. Disney allocates to Miramax a share of corporate overhead, among other differences. But haggling over year-to-year profit figures isn't really the issue. No one disputes that Miramax has, over time, produced valuable assets for Disney that will continue to generate substantial revenue. Notwithstanding his irascible temperament, Harvey Weinstein has displayed an eye for talent and both artistic and commercial instincts that are unrivaled in Hollywood. By the summer, Eisner and the Weinsteins were at loggerheads. A last straw for Weinstein was Eisner's claim, reported in the New York Times, that Harvey Weinstein had hidden the financing of Fahrenheit from Disney, a claim Weinstein denounced as an out-and-out lie. But with Miramax, a wholly owned subsidiary of Disney, Eisner held all the cards. When the brothers wanted to raise capital and buy back Miramax from Disney, Eisner refused to take any proposal to the board. The brothers suggested splitting up, leaving Bob and his Dimension studio at Disney, freeing Harvey to go elsewhere. Disney offered Bob a contract that was so inadequate it was insulting, Harvey maintains. Talks shifted from renewing their employment arrangement to severance terms. With their options dwindling, the Weinsteins watched the shareholder unrest.